We got a lot of folks on the South End making a living the hard way, meaning they don't work. In the pioneer days when I first scratched out a meager existence in these played-out nettle farms, people survived on piecework here, some odd jobs there, a little bartering, some horse trading, the usual indolent country skills. But the new folks, they do some of that, but mostly due to some serious drug maintenance problems. They got more pressing issues. You want to maintain a heroin addiction, you probably aren't going to commute to McDonald's and take a job as fry cook. Nah, it's easier if you just steal what the neighbors got. This is more or less when I left the city to escape. No, not jobs or employment. Neighbors stealing from neighbors. What was really sad back then was how the poor folks stole from the poor folks. Easier, I admit, to slip down the alley and come in a nearby back door than to drive up to the white folks' suburbs, even though the pickings would have made it more than worth the effort. Of course, then you got security alarms and motion-sensitive cameras and a police force that patrols those tonier neighborhoods. Me, I had Dr. Gonzo. Dr. Gonzo was a refugee of the Humane Society, part boxer, part hound of Baskerville, a fearless brute of a dog who had been abused by its previous owner who was, judging by her reaction to men, male. If you happen to be a black male, she ratcheted up her snarls about double the decibels. And if you were a fat male, she was nearly unmanageable, frighteningly so. But if you were a black and fat male, she wanted to hurt you. She probably wanted to kill you. My assumption is her abuser might have fit that exact description, and it might explain why she ended up at the pound. Her tormentor probably realized he wasn't going to cow her, and one of them had to go. She was well known to my neighborhood. It was also well known my house wasn't usually locked, not with Dr. Gonzo inside. You wanted to walk in, maybe see if my TV was worth stealing. Have at it, and good luck. Men knocked on my door and I'd say, kicking a snarl and growl and Gonzo back behind me, "Come on in, why don't you?" Nah, man, let's talk on the porch here," they invariably replied. And invariably they would want to know if I'd consider selling Gonzo to them. "Maybe you'd like to get to know her better," I'd suggest, opening the door a crack to let them see Gonzo trying to get her snapping jaws through, and I'd say, "It doesn't look as if she likes you, man. How about you breed her, sell me the pups?" And I'd shake my head sadly, "Nah, man, she's been spayed." I didn't have much trouble in that high-crime neighborhood, even with the 10 units next door that were nothing but a breeding ground for drugs, gun running, sex trafficking, and fencing. Still, it seemed, I don't know, a corrosive atmosphere, a breeding ground for cynicism, a hard place to practice my peaceful meditation, for both Gonzo and me. So we packed it in, bought a 1910 shack up here on the South End, and made a new start, both of us. She died some years back, broke my heart. But at least she never lived so long she had to see the ghetto boys living next door once again.